V'kiva holds the borrower can say your loan is based on the mashkon. Ava the mashkon, avdu ma'asecho. Since the mashkon was lost, your money was lost. After suggesting their dispute is about Shmuel's principle, that a mashkon worth less than the debt is considered payment for the entire debt if lost, the Gemara then says they are discussing a mashkon equal in value to the debt, and argue about Rabbi Yitzhak's principle. Rabbi Yitzhak darshan uchad tiyat tzedakah, and for you it will be a charitable act when you return the mashkon as needed. If he doesn't acquire the mashkon, why would returning it be a charitable act? From here we see that a creditor acquires a mashkon. Accordingly, the lender would suffer the loss if the mashkon is lost, and this is the Malchokas Tanaim. However, the Gemara objects that Rabbi Yitzhak's principle was never said if mashkon b'shas halva, he took the mashkon at the time of the loan. Their principle only applies to a mashkon taken later for payment. Point number two, a braisa teaches that if one lends money with a mashkon and Shemitah arrived, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, afal pi she'eino shava el apalga, even though the mashkon is only worth half the loan, Shemitah does not cancel the loan. The prohibition to collect a loan after Shemitah is lo yigos, do not press, and pressing for payment is unnecessary when he has a mashkon. Rav Yehuda Anasi says that if the mashkon is worth the full value of the loan is not canceled. Otherwise, it is canceled. The Gemara assumes that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel means that the mashkon prevents cancellation of the entire loan, although it's only half the loan's value. And Rabbi Yehuda holds it can only prevent cancellation equal to its value. Thus, they're arguing about Shmuel's principle. However, the Gemara concludes that Rabbi Shimon means the mashkon only prevents cancellation kenegdo, equal to its value. And Rabbi Yehuda holds such a mashkon does not prevent cancellation at all. Its entire purpose is lezichron devarim ba'alma, as a mere reminder of the loan. And point number three, the seventh parak begins, kol nishbayin shebator nishbayin v'lo mishalmin. All those who swear midaraisa swear and do not pay, meaning the defendant swears to avoid paying. The Gemara derives this from v'lakach balav v'lo yishalim. The owner shall accept the shvua, and the shomer shall not pay, teaching misha olav l'shalim lo shvua. The one who is potentially responsible to pay is the one with the shvua obligation to avoid paying. The Mishnah continues, ve'eo nishbayim v'notrin, but these swear and collect based on a rabbinic decree. A sochir, a hired worker, v'hanigzal, a robbery victim, v'hanechbal, an assault victim, u'shekenegdo chashud al hashvua, one who's opposing litigant is suspect about swearing falsely, v'chenveni al pinkaso, and a storekeeper regarding his ledger. The Mishnah explains that if a hired worker claims his wages and the employer says he paid, the worker can swear and collect payment. A robbery victim can swear and collect the amount he claims to have been robbed, and an assault victim can swear and collect damages he claims to have suffered. Each of these cases is fully explained in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Toveya can only swear and collect in these cases if the Nitba admitted partially to the obligation. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rabbi Lezer says that a lender who loses the mashkon can still collect his loan. Rabbi Kiva holds the borrower can say your loan is based on the mashkon. Ava the mashkon, avdu ma'asecho. Since the mashkon was lost, your money was lost. After suggesting their dispute is about Shmuel's principle, that a mashkon worth less than the debt is considered payment for the entire debt if lost, the Gemara then says they are discussing a mashkon equal in value to the debt, and argue about Rabbi Yitzhak's principle. Rabbi Yitzhak darshan uchad tiyat tzedakah, and for you it will be a charitable act when you return the mashkon as needed. If he doesn't acquire the mashkon, why would returning it be a charitable act? From here we see that a creditor acquires a mashkon. Accordingly, the lender would suffer the loss if the mashkon is lost, and this is the Malchokas Tanaim. However, the Gemara objects that Rabbi Yitzhak's principle was never said if mashkon b'shas halva, he took the mashkon at the time of the loan. Their principle only applies to a mashkon taken later for payment. Point number two, a braisa teaches that if one lends money with a mashkon and Shemitah arrived, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, afal pi she'eino shava el apalga, even though the mashkon is only worth half the loan, Shemitah does not cancel the loan. The prohibition to collect a loan after Shemitah is lo yigos, do not press, and pressing for payment is unnecessary when he has a mashkon. Rav Yehuda Anasi says that if the mashkon is worth the full value of the loan is not canceled. Otherwise, it is canceled. The Gemara assumes that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel means that the mashkon prevents cancellation of the entire loan, although it's only half the loan's value. And Rabbi Yehuda holds it can only prevent cancellation equal to its value. Thus, they're arguing about Shmuel's principle. However, the Gemara concludes that Rabbi Shimon means the mashkon only prevents cancellation kenegdo, equal to its value. And Rabbi Yehuda holds such a mashkon does not prevent cancellation at all. Its entire purpose is lezichron devarim ba'alma, as a mere reminder of the loan. And point number three, the seventh parak begins, Kol nishbayin shebator nishbayin v'lo mishalmin. All those who swear midaraisa swear and do not pay, meaning the defendant swears to avoid paying. The Gemara derives this from v'lakach balav v'lo yishalim. The owner shall accept the shvua, and the shomer shall not pay, teaching misha olav l'shalim lo shvua. The one who is potentially responsible to pay is the one with the shvua obligation to avoid paying. The Mishnah continues, ve'eo nishbayin v'notrin, but these swear and collect based on a rabbinic decree. A sochir, a hired worker, v'hanigzal, a robbery victim, v'hanechbal, an assault victim, u'shekenegdo chashud al hashvua, one who's opposing litigant is suspect about swearing falsely, v'chenveni al pinkaso, and a storekeeper regarding his ledger. The Mishnah explains that if a hired worker claims his wages and the employer says he paid, the worker can swear and collect payment. A robbery victim can swear and collect the amount he claims to have been robbed, and an assault victim can swear and collect damages he claims to have suffered. Each of these cases is fully explained in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Toveya can only swear and collect in these cases if the Nitba admitted partially to the obligation. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Mem Dalet, and our standard Siman is mud. Mud. So here goes. The borrower, who was surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, and disappointed to learn that Shemitah does not cancel his loan because of them, was suddenly approached by a hired worker covered in mud who swore he hadn't been paid for stacking those very bricks and had rights to be paid on the spot. Once again, slow motion. The borrower, who was surprised to learn that mud bricks, that must be on Duff Mem Dalet, mud. The borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, which reminds us, Rabbi Yitzchak Darshan, Uchat Yad Stoka, and for you it will be a charitable act when you return the mashkon as needed. Im eino kona mashkon, tzedaka minayin lo. If the lender does not acquire the mashkon, why would returning it be a charitable act? Mikan lo bal chov shekona mashkon. From here we see that a creditor acquires a mashkon. So the borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, and disappointed to learn that Shemitah does not cancel his loan because of them, which reminds us, Abraisa teaches, that if one lends money with a mashkon and Shemitah arrived, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Afu b'shei no shava el apalga, even though the mashkon is only worth half the loan, Shemitah does not cancel the loan. The prohibition to collect a loan after Shemitah is oyigos, do not press, and pressing for payment is unnecessary when he has a mashkon. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says that if the mashkon is worth the full value of the loan is not canceled, otherwise it is canceled. So the borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, and disappointed to learn that Shemitah does not cancel his loan because of them, was suddenly approached by a hired worker covered in mud who swore he hadn't been paid for stacking those very bricks and had rights to be paid on the spot. Which reminds us, the seventh parak begins, Kol nishbayin shebator nishbayin v'lo mishalmin. All those who swear midaraisa swear and do not pay, meaning the defendant swears to avoid paying. The Gemara derives this from v'lakach ba'ala v'lo yishalim. Its owner shall accept the shvua, and the shomer shall not pay, teaching misha olav l'shalim lo shvua. The one who is potentially responsible to pay is the one with the shvua obligation to avoid paying. The Mishnah continues, ve'eo nishbayin v'notrin, but these swear and collect based on a rabbinic decree. A sochir, a hired worker, a nigzal, a nechbal, shkenegdo chashudol, one who's opposing litigant is suspect about swearing falsely, the chenveni al pinkaso, and a storekeeper regarding his ledger. The Mishnah explains that if a hired worker claims his wages and the employer says he paid, the worker can swear and collect payment. So once again, the borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, and disappointed to learn that Shemitah does not cancel his loan because of them, was suddenly approached by a hired worker covered in mud who swore he hadn't been paid for stacking those very bricks and had rights to be paid on the spot. All right, so now we go to our four blah back Hazara. Daf Mem. So the Simmer Daf Mem is a pool. So here goes. At the pool. Pool. That must be more on Daf Mem. Mayim. At the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth a pruta based on the testimony of one witness, which reminds us, a braisa defines the parameters of a rule. Komakum shishnai mechayvino sumamon. Wherever two witnesses would obligate the defendant to pay money, eid echod mechaybo shvua. One witness obligates him to make a shvua to deny the testimony. Since two witnesses can obligate a payment as little as a pruta, a single witness obligates swearing about the same amount. So at the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth a pruta based on the testimony of one witness, while a boy splashing in the water who admitted to owing his friend a beach ball but denied borrowing his goggles also had to swear, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that a nitpa does not swear if he makes a partial admission of a different item from the one claimed. For example, if the tovea demanded a payment of wheat and the nitpa admitted to owing him some barley, Rabbi Gamliel disagreed. Shmuel said, Tano chitim saorin, if he claimed against him wheat and barley, and the nitba admitted to him one of them, he is obligated to swear. So at the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth of pruta based on the testimony of one witness, while a boy splashing in the water who admitted to owing his friend a beach ball but denied borrowing his goggles also had to swear, told the kid on the diving board to take a shvuas hesis after denying the claim he popped his friend's inflatable raft, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that one who completely denies a claim is not obligated to swear. Rav Nachman says, Umashmin oso shvuas hesis, but they do have him swear a hesis oath. He explains, Chazoka in adam toveya olim ken yeshu alav. There's a presumption that a person does not demand payment unless he actually has a legitimate claim against him, so the nitpa should swear to contradict him. The Gemara objects that on the contrary, Chazoka in adam meis panav bifnei balchovo. There's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to falsely deny his debt in his creditor's presence. His denial indicates he's telling the truth and he should not have to swear. The Gemara answers, Ishtamutihu dekemishtamitle. It is possible he's trying to temporarily evade his balchov until he has the money to repay him, and this is not a brazen denial. Daf Memov. So the Zimmer Daf Memov is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma. That must be more Daf Memov. The grandma, who was incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said that although there's no shvud deraisa for someone who completely denies a debt, he must swear a shvuas hesis, which is midrabban. The Gemara seeks enough kamina between a shvud deraisa and a shvud derabban, since he must swear regardless. It first explains, mepach shvua, if the nitva can reverse the shvua, meaning instead of swearing to be exempt, demand that the tovea swear to collect. He cannot do so for a shvuah deraisa, but he can reverse a shvuah derabanan. So the grandma, who was incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, was advised by one grandson that next time she should lend in front of two edim, so the borrower must repay in front of edim. Which reminds us, Rabasi said, "Hamalvas chavero be'edim." If one lends his friend in front of edim, tzarich lefaro be'edim, the borrower must repay him in front of edim, and is otherwise not believed to say he repaid. Shmuel disagreed because the borrower can say, Pratich bifnei poni uponi b'holchul hemo minin sayam. I repaid you in front of poni and poni, and they went overseas and can't testify. So the grandma, who was incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, was advised by one grandson that next time she should lend in front of two edim, so the borrower must repay in front of edim, and taped a reminder note on her rocking chair that anyone who says, I have not borrowed, is like one who says, I have not repaid. Which reminds us, a man once demanded repayment of 100 ziz loan, and the nitba replied, Lo hiu dvarim ma'olam. It never happened, meaning I never borrowed from you. Witnesses came forward and testified that he did borrow the money, but had already repaid it. Rava argued, Kol omer lo levisi, kol omer lo parati dami. Anyone who says, I have not borrowed, is like one who says, I have not repaid. Since according to his claim, he never borrowed, he would never have paid. Therefore, although Adam testified that he paid, he must still pay based on his personal admission, as Rashi explains, because Udaz Baldin Kamea Adam. A litigant's admission is like 100 witnesses testifying. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simmer Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Beis. The mobster who was dismayed when he couldn't use a shtar to collect after admitting he received payment but claimed it was sitrai, which reminds us, a lender once demanded a payment of 100 ziz loan, which the borrower claimed he paid, but the lender replied, Hani sitrain, these monies were for a side debt. Rav Nachman said, Itra shtar, the document is weakened since the lender agreed he received payment and he could not collect with the shtar. Rav Papa said the shtar is not weakened. So the mobster was dismayed when he couldn't use a shtar to collect after admitting he received payment, but claimed it was sidrai, got nachas from his mobster son who got a modem of mixas out of someone who borrowed money from his dad, the boss, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one does not swear against the claim of a katan, but then states that one does swear to a katan. Rav explains that this case is bevo betanis aviv, when he comes with his father's claim, following Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, who ruled that if one says a man of your father's was in my possession, and already paid half of it, he must swear. The Chachamim say, Inu Ha'el Kameshiv Avedo HaPater, he's like one who returns lost property and is exempt from swearing. The Machlokes is ultimately explained based on Rabbah's rationale for the Shvua, a motive b'miksas. So the mobster who was dismayed when he couldn't use a shtar to collect after admitting he received payment, but claimed it was sitrai, got nachas from his mobster son who got a modem of mixas out of someone who borrowed money from his dad, the boss, and was careful to claim only cash, knowing there's no shvua, for avadim karka, or shtaros, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, ve'el dvarim she'ein nishpoin alehen, these are the things about which one does not swear, avadim shtaros karkos ve'hekdeshos, slaves' documents of debt, land and hekdesh. Additionally, a thief does not pay careful for stealing them, and one would not pay 4 or 5 times the value after stealing and shechting or stealing an animal of hekdesh. A shomer chinam doesn't swear about these items that their loss was not due to his negligence, and a shomer sachar does not pay if they're lost or stolen. Rabbi Shimon says one does swear about kachin shechai b'charei son. Daf Mem Gimel. So the similar Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The lender who said he gave the borrower magazines. Magazines? That must be more on Daf Mem Gimel. The lender said he gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up into the window, which reminds us, modem mixes requires admitting to a defined amount, such as one who claims the produce filled the house at a ziz, up into the ceiling beam, and the nitba responds it was only filled at a chalon, unto the window. So the lender said he gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up until the window, didn't notice that on top of the pile was Lost Mashkon magazine covering the topic of who swears regarding its value, which reminds us, in a dispute about the value of a lost mashkon, the lender swears, because perhaps the borrower will swear to the mashkon's value, and he may err in his assessment, and this lender will produce the deposit, and the borrower will become disqualified for edus and shvuas. So the lender who gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up until the window, didn't notice that on top of the pile was Lost Mashkon magazine, covering the topic of who swears regarding its value, which was next to a lost sickle handle mashkon that a lender lost, which resulted in his not being able to collect the 1,000 zuz that he had lent. Which reminds us, Shmuel taught that if one lent 1,000 zuz, and the borrower gave a handle of a sickle of little value as a mashkon, avakata de magla avet alpa zuze, if he lost the sickle handle, he lost 1,000 zuz because he could not collect it if he does not return the mashkon. However, if the mashkon was 2 sickles and he lost one, we do not consider each handle as against half the loan. Rather, he merely deducts his actual value from the loan. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff did we learn about a shvus heses? So that's on daf Mem. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you want to call Omer Lolovisi, call Omer Loparati Dami? Anyone who says, I have not borrowed, is like one who says, I have not repaid. That's on Dav? Mem Olav. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you want that one does not swear for Avadim Shtar's Karkos and Hekdeshos? That's on Dav? Membeis. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn about those who are nishmoyim v'notrin, those who swear and collect based on rabbinic decree, one of them being a hired worker? That's on daf. Memdalad. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we discuss claiming payment for a shtar was sitroi, a side debt? That's on daf. Membeis. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we discuss swearing mod b'mixas to a katan when he comes with his father's claim? That's on daf. Membeis. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you learn about Rabbi Yitzchak's principle that Baal Chov Kona Mashkon? That's on Daf. Memdalad. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you learn that Shmuel said, if one claimed against another wheat and barley, and the Nitbah admitted to him one of them, he is obligated to swear? That's on Daf. Mem. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you learn about about a Mashkon preventing Shemitah from canceling a loan? That's on Daf. Memdalad. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we have the machlokes about swearing against multiple claims, such as lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha? That's on daf. Lamed ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.